Welcome everyone to the HealthLinks podcast and videocast presented by the HealthLinks family of services. I'm your host, DJ Thatcher. Our mission here is to engage in conversations about the health and medical landscape of South Carolina so that we're all better informed. Coming up in the HealthLinks magazine is an entire issue dedicated to dentistry and oral health. And our guest in this episode is Dr. Nicole Dahlkemper from Water's Edge Dentistry in Mount Pleasant. Dr. Dahlkemper, welcome to the HealthLinks podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, DJ. I'm excited to be on.
Oh, absolutely. Great having you here. Hey, tell us a bit about Water's Edge Dentistry and what you provide.
Here at Water's Edge Dentistry, I'd like to say we give our patients an exceptional experience when they come in, and we're very comprehensive. We do the stuff that you normally think of when you go to the dentist, check the gums, teeth, get a good cleaning, but we're really looking out for patients and their overall health.
This is something that's really changed over the years. I know, like most people, going to the dentist is like one of those routine things you do a couple of times a year. You go in, get your teeth cleaned, get an x-ray, maybe have a cavity filled, and you're good to go for 6 months. And today, there are just so many things that you do. You don't involve just the teeth, but it's really overall health, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. In the past, I feel like, you go to the dentist and it's drill and fill. You talk to a lot of older patients and, they have tons of cavities, had a lot of teeth pulled. I mean, these days I try to look at everything. I really love medicine and I really thought about going to be a surgeon or going to, just the whole medical field fascinates me. So, I'm so happy and proud that we're so comprehensive here. Like if you came to the office to get your exam, we're also looking for oral cancer. We're looking at your airway. We might ask you if you snore, you might have big tonsils. We're just looking at how the airway helps develop the face and, if your gums are healthy and if they're not, how that can relate to diabetes and heart disease. It's just the whole body is so connected and it's just fascinating.
Yeah, we'll learn more about that. That's very fascinating. You're right. Just curious how you just got into this entire field. And one thing of interest in seeing your bio, I see that your undergraduate degree is in biological neuroscience and psychology. Something a little bit different than most pre-dental or pre-med tracks, right? What's that all about?
It was very interesting to me. I started out in psych. And I feel like it really helps me just relate to some feelings that my patients may be having. And a lot of people come to the dentist are anxious. They don't like the sounds. They don't like us being so close to them. They just, have a fear of discomfort. And it just really helps us be able to manage their, anxiety and fears.
Yeah. So what was the deciding factor in going the dental route as opposed to surgery or something else?
I can think of two main things when you ask me that. I went to Allegheny College, and in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania, there were three brothers, and they all went to Allegheny, and they were specialists. One did root canals, one did braces, and one did gum surgery. And I went and shadowed them, and that really intrigued me to go, going into the field. I wasn't thinking about it before, but after I met those men, I was putting together my skills of working with my hands and love of medicine. And, I was like, I think I could really do this and, really change people's lives through that versus medicine. I mean, the funny thing is I thought about neuroscience, neurosurgery, cardio surgery, but at the time I'm like, I'm going to be so old by the time I'm out. I'm going to be in my 30s, God forbid, I've surpassed my 30s, but that was another factor.
Right.
So I want to get out there and start working.
Well, good for you. Well, yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the different specialties as well. So you're a DMD, and just for the sake of our average listener who may not know the difference, we've got dentists, there are periodontists, there are oral surgeons. What are some of the differences among the specialties?
Oral surgeons are going to be doing surgery. They may be placing implants, removing oral cancer. Endodontist is they're specializing in root canals. So they have specialized tools and microscopes to just do root canals better and faster, I think, in my opinion, because they do them all day, every day.
Right.
But a periodontist is someone who is going to, they can place implants as well, but they're dealing with gum surgery. If you have recession, which is where, you lose a little bit of the gums and the bone, they can help repair that. And then, I mean, orthodontics is a specialty of just doing braces. And I think that's it. So yeah,
that's a lot. So tell us more about the services you offer at Water's Edge Dentistry.
We have two really great hygienists here that are going to give you a great cleaning. So I just say great.
Right.
we have two great hygienists here who are very thorough. I myself provide maybe basic dentistry. We'll do fillings, crowns, just to keep you healthy. But I do a lot of cosmetic dentistry. So we do a lot of whitening, veneers. We actually do full mouth rehabilitation if a patient has ground down all their teeth to kind of reestablish function and aesthetics. So, I mean, we go as far as doing that as well. So that's the teeth side that you'd be thinking of. But we also do some sleep medicine. What I mean by that is some people who have sleep apnea will get CPAPs, and sometimes doctors will refer patients here that cannot tolerate them. So we can make an oral appliance for them. We also have NightLase, which is a laser that helps with snoring, which is pretty amazing. So there's the sleep aspect of what I do.
Sure.
Something else that's interesting is I'm really looking at little kids to see how they're sleeping as well. Sometimes, I mean, kids should not snore. Kids should not grind their teeth. There's a lot of like signs and symptoms that there may be an airway issue. So I'm really helping parents, you know, figure that out and, you know, try to help them either see an ENT or do some early intervention to open up the airway so they can breathe and also align the teeth. So,
okay. Are you seeing a greater incidence of that these days with the kids with problems like that?
You know, I think it's always been there, but we have greater education on it. And honestly, what I've seen since 2020, people in general are trying to take care of themselves a little bit better. So I feel like during COVID, there's a deep dive into health. So people are becoming a little bit more aware of it and asking more questions, which I think is good, you know, from the parents, you know, airway wise. So I think it's always been there because I think it's genetic. Like if your mom and dad had a narrow arch, meaning like you have crowded teeth and a small little, you know, mouth, you know, you might have it too. And I feel like genetics is 50% of it, but the other 50%, people don't think of, like, you know, if they have food allergies, if your child's mouth breathing at nighttime, like their lips are like open, you know, me as a parent, it's like, oh, they're sleeping. They're so cute. You know, their mouth's open. Like that's actually not healthy for them in the long run.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is good. Yeah. For people to hear, because it may, like you said, it may be something they see as cute or just normal, but might benefit from an evaluation.
Well, some kids, I mean, some can't breathe, and I mean, they're not going to grow optimally if they can't. So, I mean, sometimes we'll talk to ENTs and, you know, the tonsils and adenoids might need to come out. Sometimes the kids may, you know, need a sleep study, or sometimes, you know, they just may need some early orthodontic intervention that we can help with as well.
All right. Going back to the dental side, I'm just wondering, are we just too vain as a society with the whitening and the cosmetic dentistry? And of course, with the background you have with the neuroscience and psychology, how important is our look or our smile to people?
Oh my goodness. That is a good question, DJ. I was thinking a lot of things were coming at once. You know, during COVID, there was a lot of Zoom. So people were seeing themselves more and having more of an awareness of how they look. So I really feel like it's becoming more, and the awareness is more and more. But like, you know, they're sitting in a meeting and then they're looking at themselves. How are other people seeing me? Versus if you came, you know, to my office and we had a meeting, I'm not seeing myself. I'm just seeing you. So what I'm getting at, I guess, is I did have a lot of people who specifically brought up Zoom calls that wanted to get Invisalign. So, you know, we did a lot of Invisalign during COVID. We still do a lot, but then also a lot of whitening, or people might see little chips on their teeth, you know, and stuff too. But yeah, vanity of our society, you know, that's subjective, I guess. You know, there's definitely, with the increase of social media, like, you know, people are taking a little extra time to look at themselves as well. But, you know, it's different in the US than other parts of the world too. I mean, we're more concerned about straightening and whitening than other parts of the world, I definitely feel.
Yeah. Well, let's think about the whitening aspect. I know there are lots of options out there from just over-the-counter, you know, toothpastes and so forth. There's trays that people can have with the gels. And what else is available, though? We see some people with these brilliantly beautiful white teeth. How is that achieved?
You know, I mean, everybody is so darn different with the extent their teeth can whiten. I mean, it depends on like the thickness of, so when you're talking about a tooth, there's three parts. There's the enamel, which is the white part on the outside, the dentin and the nerve. And some people have just more translucent dentin. Some have, you know, or enamel, and just some people can get white as my white coat. And other people, if they try really hard, can't get there. So there is a genetic component of how your teeth are made up. And there's just different methods in which, you know, to do it. So you see on the market, whitening toothpaste and mouthwash. Now, that's not truly going to whiten your teeth, but what it is going to do is it's going to keep some of the stain off. It's a more abrasive, you know, kind of toothpaste. So any ads you see for like whitening toothpaste, I mean, they're good, but you're not getting a true whitening. You're just keeping the stain off. There's definitely Crest white strips. You can get over the counter, you know, strips that work pretty well. But you're going to get the best whitening if you go professional, just because it's a stronger percentage. But when I say stronger percentage of bleach, you know, if you go too strong, I've seen some people get sensitivity. So in the past, I've tried so many different kinds at the office. We started using something called Glow, which is amazing because it's for patients with sensitive teeth. And we, the biggest complaint of teeth whitening with some patients is their teeth are really sensitive immediately afterwards. There's something called Zoom that people used in the past, that the lights that you'd actually, you know, you put the whitening gel on, you put the light on, but then the light would make everything look whiter afterwards, but the teeth were dehydrated and the heat would sometimes make people's teeth sensitive. So with Glow, it's just made a little, you know, bit differently. There's a little like light piece that you put in, but it's not, there's not much heat. And I mean, I'd say out of all the people we've done, I've had maybe one or two people that have had sensitivity, but they continue to go home and they continue to whiten for like a month. So.
Interesting comment there, just about the dehydrated teeth. As we produce this podcast, it's the middle of summer here in Charleston and 100 degrees. I guess a lot of us don't consider that the teeth can be dehydrated, though. How does that work?
More so, I don't think it happens on like a regular basis, but more so from like the light that, you know, we might put on there, it can kind of dehydrate.
I see.
I may have to do more research to give you a better answer.
No, that's okay. I was curious about that. That's a very interesting comment. So, all right. So today, you know, obviously expectations for everything in life are higher. So let's say I'm coming into your practice for the first time. Hey, walk us through, what's it like to have that initial evaluation and then looking at some of the services you provide?
Most of the time when patients will come in, like, okay, if you come into the office, my front desk is going to, Emily will probably welcome you in, ask you if you want a water, and then we'll take you for a tour of the office real quick, just so you know, like where the restrooms are, where, just where everything is. We don't have a huge office, but just, you know, just to make you feel welcome. First appointment, usually you'll see the hygienist, and then we do a thorough evaluation of your gums, your teeth. We may take some x-rays. We're going to take measurements around your gums, make sure they're healthy. We have this machine called an iTero. It's actually a digital, impression machine. So we, instead of like, you know, how did you have braces when you were younger?
Never did. No.
So you don't really know. Do you have a night guard?
I have a night guard. Yes.
you know, the gooey impression you probably had to have made to like get the
right
night guard made. So this digital camera can take a picture of your mouth and take impressions of your teeth, essentially, at the same time.
Wow.
It's really awesome. But we use it in our hygiene department to show you what your teeth look like and how your bite is and if you have any recession. So we'll take a digital scan and take pictures of your teeth. And then also we'll look to see if there's any joint pain, headaches, you know, TMJ stuff going on. When we look in your mouth, we're going to look for oral cancer and just, you know, we'll look at the tongue, under the tongue, down the throat, you know, feel your neck. You know, so we'll do like just that medical exam for oral cancer. And then I'm trying to think what else. Oh, we also are looking at the airway. So I'm looking to see if your throat red, big tonsils, if you have just a small little airway, a big tongue that might be blocking the airway. Like, so I think that's, I think that's a good synopsis perhaps.
Yeah, very, very comprehensive. And, you know, as you described, just the patients coming in, really, they're more like guests, aren't they? It sounds like you're treating them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we try to just cater to each person's individual wants and needs. Mm-hmm. And we try to make them, I mean, as relaxed as they can be. I mean, I realize they're going into a medical office. I get a little nervous, you know, when I go in too. But some people don't like the sound, so we'll give them canceling headphones. Some people, you know, might need something a little extra, like some laughing gas or, you know, like an oral sedative. We can offer that as well. And then there's one patient that didn't like seeing anything, and she asked for like an eye mask or someone that was cold, and we gave them a blanket. So, I mean, I think those are just little, you know, and we just try to listen to me as a doctor. I'm going to tell you what I see just is going on in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I want to listen to what you as the patient, what your concerns are and what you want to achieve.
Sure. Yeah, we joked a moment ago about the night guard. Yes, I own one. How big an issue is compliance, though, whether it's with night guards or anything else? Is that a big issue with most of the people you take care of?
Oh, it depends what we're talking about. I mean, for Invisalign, most of my patients are very compliant. When you're doing Invisalign, you have to wear those aligners.
Gonna tell us more about that for people who may not be familiar with Invisalign. What is that?
Oh, with Invisalign? Oh, it's a great product. So Invisalign, I think now it's a household name, Invisalign is. And I mean, I think they've been around since, maybe 95, 96. I feel like that's when the company came out. So they're tried and true. I mean, they have a great research and development program. I mean, their product gets better and better every year. But what it is clear aligners. So it's a clear alternative to braces. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with Invisalign nowadays, you can correct many, many different conditions in the mouth, without having to have the wires and the brackets and the metal all in your mouth that, you know, people associate with orthodontics. So, sure. I mean, these aligners, you wear them, there's a set of aligners and you change them every 2 weeks and they slowly put pressure on the teeth, in order to, you know, move them pretty painlessly, honestly. I mean, I'm amazed how many patients just are so satisfied with the end result.
What's the average length of time until people see results?
You know, it's so different. I know you love that answer. It's so different.
That's okay.
I mean, on average, though, I mean, we can get a case done in orthodontic 10 to 12 months.
Wow.
I mean, that's less than a year or so. I mean, we're doing a lot of our cases in less than a year. But, I mean, if it's a little more complex, it might take 12 to 18 months. But, 10 to 12, I mean, I guess I'd say as average.
Good. Yeah, we talk about compliance. I'm sure the patients who invest in that, they're probably pretty compliant. Otherwise, things like you mentioned, the night guards or just even the brushing a couple of times a day and flossing daily and that sort of thing. Is that still just like beating your head against the wall to get people to do basic things like that?
Sometimes. That's funny you say it like that. Sometimes, I'm not a dentist that's going to shame. I mean, you're going to come in, I'm going to listen, you know, to what's going on in your mouth, and then I'm going to educate. But I mean, there's some, you know, I had an 80-year-old patient come in. Hey, Mr. So-and-so, are you flossing? No, he's not flossing. He hasn't flossed for, you know, however many years. But I mean, does he never get into the habit? But, you know, I did talk to this particular patient about using like a water flosser or like a water pick. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He actually formed that habit. He just said his hands were so big, he couldn't, you know, get them in. So he just gave up.
Wow.
So, I mean, even for something as basic as flossing, there's little things that you can offer. Water flosser, or I mean, some of my patients have arthritis and they can't, you know, they don't have a great range of motion. So, you know, there's little flossers that have a handle that they can reach to, or, you know, there are options to the conventional, you know, floss you got to have to put around your fingers.
Well, I love your educational approach. I guess that is so important in any specialty, but in particular dentistry as well. Is that right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the patients nowadays, really most of them want to know what's going on in their mouth and how they can be healthier. And we try to motivate them and give them suggestions so they can be overall healthier. And I'm not just saying, you know, just flossing and brushing your teeth, but I mean, if I'm seeing a patient like start snoring in the chair when I'm working on them or on nitrous and seeing their stop breathing, I'm going to refer them to a sleep doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's some medications that are causing people to clench and grind and brux a lot more. There's some antidepressants, some ADHD medicines, and people are breaking teeth. So, you know, I might do Botox in their jaw so they don't clench as much, or possibly, you know, talk about like a night guard, or, you know, just something to, you know, be preventative. Because if we can be preventative, I mean, it will save a lot of emergencies in the future.
Yeah. Interesting about the Botox. So not just for cosmetic uses as it's often used, but so in that case, it actually helps with that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of TMJ patients for numerous things, but patients that have headaches or jaw pain, I mean, the most common things that I do see that I use Botox for functionally rather than I do cosmetics too, but functionally is, say if patients have headaches right here in these temporalis muscles, mm-hmm. I can inject Botox here or in the forehead, and that will sometimes get rid of migraines. Also the back of the head a little bit, it usually is above the neck. People will get migraines starting from the base of their neck. And then also what you were talking about was right here in the masseter, patients that are clenching all the time. A night guard is going to protect it during the nighttime, but during the day, I have some patients that clench all day long. Or think about, you know, you're in traffic, because we have wonderful traffic sometimes. You're in traffic coming into Mount Pleasant on 526. You know, you're clenching, you know, all day, every day. So how the Botox works in that particular circumstance is it goes into the muscle and it works as an isolated muscle relaxer. Because if I gave you a pill and you take it nighttime, your whole body is, you know, going to be relaxed. And some people are, you know, sedentary when they wake up and they don't want that. So it works as just an isolated muscle relaxer, and it can last 6 months. I mean, some patients come every year to get it done. And my severe clenchers, I've seen some people come every 3 to 4 months.
Sure.
But,
wow. That's interesting. You know, again, something that maybe people don't think of, especially with a dentist and that sort of thing. So, well, Dr. D, you certainly have a comprehensive practice. It's been fascinating to hear about all that you do. For people who are listening and maybe they're considering going to a new practice, what is the best way to get a hold of you?
You can go to our website and request an appointment online if you'd like.
Okay.
Or you can call the office. I mean, those are the two easiest ways.
And that's at watersedgesc.com. Is that correct?
Correct.
And yes. We'll put a link to that here as well. All right. Well, Dr. Nicole Dalkemper, thank you so much for joining us here on the HealthLinks podcast.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me. That was fun, DJ.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, our podcasts are also video-based, and so you can log in and not only hear our guests, but of course, see some of the pictures and video that go along with the subject as well. And as always, for any questions about our guest or for any comments or maybe suggestions for future podcasts, reach out to us at listen@healthlinkspodcast.com. I'm DJ Thatcher. Thank you for joining.